Good morning, this is Niaga Awani with me, Ibrahim Sani. In the past few weeks, the Malaysian government has issued three measures affecting the poultry industry in order to contain inflation and to ensure continued supply of poultry. Among the three items that were done by the government or announced by the government, number one is, of course, introducing price ceilings. Second is, of course, removal of approved permits, not just for the poultry industry, but food in general. And, of course, the third is banning exports of this sector. Now, according to the Centre for Market Education, or CME, only the second one, which is the AP's removal, that can be considered beneficial in the fight against price tensions and to improve food security by ensuring demand and supply is contained. The idea here is, of course, price ceilings and export bans, according to CME, are perfect recipes for prolonging inflation, ensuring food insecurity. So we're trying to understand better how we can look at the measures that were introduced, understand a little bit better about how price tensions and food security and supply is going to be managed. Joining us for this week, online is Dr. Carmelo Ferlito, the CEO of Centre for Market Education. Good morning, Dr. Carmelo. Why do you feel that only the AP removal is the one that is going to solve the woes of the poultry industry and food insecurity issues?
So at the root of the problem, we have a lack of supply. So with the reopening of the economy, demand for poultry started, for poultry products started to push up again. And the supply that scaled down during the 2 years of lockdown requires time in order to cope with the increasing demand. And it requires profit expectations, positive profit expectations. So to ensure that we can more easily get products from abroad is a way to ensure supply to grow. And when supply grows, then to meet demand, then prices can cool down. Instead, by putting a price ceiling or by putting an export ban, we are creating a negative incentive to supply to step up. And therefore, we are just prolonging the agony and eventually getting to the market less products than what we need, and therefore keeping price tensions alive for a longer time.
Because of this, the other two items that were introduced, do you feel that is it because of lack of mechanism or the principle itself was the problem?
But I think that somehow the government tried to react in a way that may appeal the consumers. So these maneuvers, these policies seem to be beneficial for the consumers, seem to be directed at protecting the welfare of consumers. But if we look at their unintended effects, in the end, we are going to harm the consumers because we are going to keep supply low and prices higher. And so the problem is only pushed forward and never solved. So I think that at the root we have the attempt to please the consumers, but unfortunately the measures that have been implemented goes in the opposite direction.
Dr. Carmelo, two other items I want to talk about. The first is, of course, subsidies. The idea of continued subsidies in the country is a big problem. We have to talk about the removal of it, not just about food subsidies, but fuel subsidies and other subsidies. Do you think that now's the time to talk about how we can slowly ease off subsidies in the greater scheme of things, not just about food, but other stuff as well?
Yeah, I believe so. It is important to open a debate about this. It is important to liberalize more our economy because further liberalization will also enhance progress for those industries that now are benefiting from subsidies. But we have to be very careful on the implementation of these reforms. So far we only have a principle in mind, but very little has been said about what practically we want to do. And we have to be sure that this process happens gradually and reducing the minimum and intended consequences.
Now, as mentioned, two issues. The first is, of course, removal of subsidies. The second that I want to touch on is on the possibility of, I don't know how to call it, black market maybe, because when you ban export, I'm pretty sure that with low enforcement, you're going to create a situation where dark markets or black markets are going to be created. People still need to export stuff. And, you know, the incentives are there. If you don't get caught, you're going to earn a lot because of the weaker ringgit. Do you think that this is a possibility?
Absolutely. Precisely because the demand is high, so this increasing demand is sending signals to the supply that there are profit opportunities. And in a way or in the other, the market will try to bring the product, the people that are demanding for that product.
Dr. Carmelo, two more items that we can explore on, which is, of course, the long-term prospects of businesses, particularly in this sector, the poultry sector. Is there an incentive for companies to now start to enter this space, considering that supply is low?
I think that, you know, the poultry industry in Malaysia is pretty well developed. Poultry is the only livestock of which Malaysia is self-sufficient. And poultry production is already happening with the highest level of technology in the country. The issue that now we are not getting enough supply is simply related to a physiological time that the supply needs to readapt at the new conditions after all the lockdowns have been removed. And with price ceilings, basically, we started to delay this process. Instead, the poultry market in Malaysia is pretty mature, so I don't think there is big space for new players. Indeed, the big players in Malaysia are looking for production possibilities in Indonesia, Vietnam, and Philippines, rather than expanding much in the country. And poultry consumption is already very high. Malaysia is the third consumer of poultry in the world per capita, almost 50 kilos per person per year. So I don't see much possibilities for the expansion domestically.
And therefore, I guess this ties in with my follow-up question, substitutable products, plant-based product, protein, or similar products that can be substituted with, I guess, poultry. Do you feel that the advent of substitute products might not necessarily take off following this shortage of supply?
I think that if we allow the market to do its job by removing export ban and price ceilings, the readaptation of supply to demand will be so fast that there will be even no time for substitutes to emerge in the market. In fact, I think that if the government would have avoided price ceiling, now we would not be here discussing this topic at this moment.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Dr. Carmelo Ferlito, CEO of Center for Market Education. We now move on to some news from the World Economic Forum. China's special envoy for climate change, Xi Zhenhua, promised that China will strive to plant 70 billion trees in the next 10 years in a speech setting out the country's approach to climate change at the ongoing World Economic Forum in Davos. Xi briefed the participants over China's tremendous efforts to pursue its climate goals, achievements of last year's COP15 biodiversity summit held in the southwestern Chinese city of Kunming, and the country's new measures in protecting nature and preserving the environment. He emphasized that China will take actions in three aspects: policy formulation, energy transformation, and forest carbon sinks, which include introducing a 1+N policy system. This year's WEF gathering, which runs from Sunday to Thursday today, is being held under the theme of History at a Turning Point: Government Policies and Business Strategies, with the major topics including geoeconomic challenges, post-pandemic economic recovery, and the Ukraine crisis. A top Saudi official at the WEF touted his country's dual strategy of increasing oil production capacity levels for export abroad, while advocating for a domestic reduction of emissions in line with Saudi Arabia's net zero pledge. Al Ibrahim said that the increase in oil prices and revenue for the kingdom only helps it helps it reach its 2060 net zero targets quicker. Repeating an argument that other oil-producing Gulf Arab states make, he said that focusing on climate change without focusing on energy security could lead to more countries burning the dirtiest kind of coal in a time of need. Climate activists, as many said, that scientists and energy experts argue otherwise, advocating for an immediate end to greater investment in fossil fuels to keep global temperatures from rising further. While pointing to other sources of energy like solar power, Al Ibrahim said that the kingdom is looking at establishing the largest carbon capture utilization and storage hub with 44 million tonnes a year. One more short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with BizTech Asia.